Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from John chapter 16. John, the 16th chapter, and the last verse, verse number 33. John 16 and 33. Jesus Christ is speaking. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Once again, a pleasant good morning to those who are here in the building. We appreciate you being here, echoing the sentiments, Brother Dustin, appreciative of your attendance. Those listening by way of radio, you are an honored guest as well, and we'd love for you to come worship with us in person sometime here at Arlington. Any chance that you may have, you'd be our welcomed and our honored guest. There was a man. His name was Tom. He went to the beach. While he was at the beach for a couple of weeks, he met this girl named Lorraine, and they fell in love, and so they started dating while they're at the beach. A week before he was supposed to leave, he happened to meet another girl named Clearly, and he liked Clearly, but he didn't want to be rude to Lorraine, so he's still going out with Lorraine. They're out there walking on the pier one day, and Lorraine just falls off into the pier and gets eaten by a shark. And he goes, "I can see clearly now, Lorraine is gone." You should be glad that you're here today. Not for that. Well, maybe. We started a series a little over 2 hours ago, a little over an hour, hour and a half ago, looking at faith is the victory. And I appreciate John leading that again. We're going to look at faith is the victory. We looked at it this morning very simply by saying that faith, we talked what faith is, Hebrews 11, is active. V is a definite article, and then victory. How do we attain victory? When do we celebrate? At the end. So to finish up this series, how do you overcome the world? Because that's what we just sang, right? Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. You know, it is possible to overcome. Paul says, Galatians 1 and 4, he might deliver us from this present evil. You know, it is possible to overcome the world. Now, the world's a wicked place. I mean, it's the best place for you and I to live, certainly, but it's a wicked place. John talks about there's the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how he categorizes sin, and that's everywhere. People want to do this because it looks good, because it feels good, because it makes them think it will feel good. But we need to be careful. We need to be attentive and watch, dear friends. Overcoming the world means overcoming the sin which is in the world. We can overcome the world because Jesus overcame the world. He's our example. So this morning, I want us to talk about overcoming the world. Four reasons why we can overcome the world. You ready for this? Number one, we can overcome the world because God gives us the power to do so. God gives us the power to do so. Let's run some references here. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, if you will. Almost there at the end of the Bible. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6. 1 John 4, 4 through 6. John writing, he says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them, but we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So God gives us the power, and I love the way he puts that at the end of verse 4. Greater is he that is in you, God, God's word, God's promises, than he that is in the world, that's Satan. Power in of God is better. Well, where's God's power? It's in his word. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. Everyone that believes, Jew first, also the Greek." Underscore that word power. In the Greek, dunamis, dynamo, where we get TNT from. God's word is power. The Hebrew writer puts it this way: it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Means it cuts going in, Hebrews 4:12, cuts coming out. It pierces everything. God's word, we have this word in front of us, and it's powerful. Don't believe me, come with me sometimes when we have Bible studies, when you see somebody who is living a life lost in sin, and they read it for themselves, and they realize they're in a lost state, and they just break down, uncontrollable weeping, until they can fix their lives. Dear friends, God's Word has power, and we can overcome with the knowledge. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture, not leaving out any part, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, a profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Perfect doesn't necessarily just mean 100%. It means lacking nothing. Think about it as a puzzle where you've put every piece in. You are thoroughly equipped to every good work. See, we can overcome the world because God gives us the power, because God is the power through His Word. By the way, this power exists nowhere else in the world. You know, there are people in our very own communities who are trying to find a way to overcome the world, but they're not doing what God said to do. They're listening to this man, this group of people, whatever thought, indigestion, whatever it may be that they had, gave them this thought. No, we have the power from God's Word. So we can overcome the world because of that. But we move on. We can overcome the world, as we sang in our song a moment ago, because faith gives us the victory. Go with me to 1 John 5, 4 and 5, where we spent some time this morning, but it's always good to go back. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever, John says, is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So if you want to overcome the world, it's through faith. Part of that faith is you've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that faith, you're going to do what he says to do. But you see, faith gives us the victory. You go, I know that. We just sang. But look at this. You got to be born of God. That's a requirement. It's manifest, if you will. Go back to John chapter 3. That story of Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. He comes to Christ by night and he says, Rabbi, I know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that you're doing except that God be with him. And Jesus answers and says, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born of God's requirement. Nicodemus, not thinking spiritually, he says, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Or how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he's only thinking about the physical, and he knows about the physical birth process. He says, how can that happen again? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. He's talking about baptism. That's how you enter into the kingdom. It is a requirement, dear friends. It must be manifest. Let's see how Peter puts it, if you will. 1 Peter, we'll start in chapter 1 and kind of bounce around a little bit. But 1 Peter chapter 1, notice this here in verse 23. What are we born of, Peter? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, we got that. You have a phrase set off by commas, of, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. How is this accomplished? By the word of God. How am I born again? By reading what God has said, by submitting unto him in baptism. That is how I am born again. It is a requirement. Jump back to the third verse of this chapter. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What have we been born again? Why? Because Jesus Christ defeated death. He rose from the grave. We can be born again. And thanks be to God, he defeated death, that he arose on that third day. Go with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. If there's any doubt, Peter talks about Noah and the situation there. He says in verse number 20, in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein eight souls were saved by water, the like figure, verse 21, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, it is the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's talked about Noah and how the people in the days of Noah, Mrs. Noah, their three kids and their wives respectively, eight souls, made it on the ark and they were saved. How? By water, the like figure. Using that as an example, watch this. You ever met somebody who says, well, I can just believe on God. I can just say the sinner's prayer that I'm a terrible person and I invite Jesus into my heart and I'm saved. Really? Well, here Peter just said that baptism saves us. Did you catch that? The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away the filth of flesh. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Dear friends, we must be born again. We're born again by being baptized. It's manifest being born of God, and there's also an object. Jesus made it all possible. You know that confession that Peter made in Matthew 16 there in Caesarea Philippi? And Jesus says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're John the Baptist who'd been beheaded. Some say you're Elijah who was dead, or Jeremiah who was dead, or one of the other prophets which all were dead. And Jesus says, but whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Peter made that confession. Because he is the Christ, because he is the Son of the living God, he has made it available to me to be saved. Because faith is a victory. But notice what John says. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Whenever you approach a study of John, I always think it's almost best to start at the end, or almost the end, with this passage. Why did John write the book of John? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Pause. That tells me Jesus did other stuff. He's going to go on to say at the end of the next chapter, he supposes the whole world couldn't contain if everything was written. You think about it. You read anybody's biography, autobiography, it doesn't tell you everything. To be honest, I don't want to know everything. I like Eisenhower. He's my favorite president. But I don't want to read a biography of everything he did in one day. That'd be boring by the time you left the house. Notice, verse 31, but these things are written that you might believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John says these stories are cherry-picked so that you can read them, and by reading them you can believe, and believing on him you can have life through his name. See, faith gives us the victory. That's how we overcome the world. Don't be listening to something else. Listen to Jesus, because he made it all possible. Remember, you must be born again. Faith gives us the victory. How do we overcome the world? Number three, because the world shows us the alternative. The world shows you, the world shows me the alternative of how it would go if you don't follow what God has said. You know, honestly, few places in life truly show you the alternative of the choice that you're going to make. Most of the time, you have to make a decision in the dark. When I go home and when we eat and we go out to a restaurant, well, I could have this or I could have that. But I don't know the outcome had I had the steak as opposed to the chicken or the hamburger. I don't know that. What if I took this road? I don't know these alternatives. I don't know what might have happened. But I know what happens if I don't follow God. I know what happens if I'm not living the life of a Christian. See, Satan is the one that controls the world. Go back to 1 John 5 and verse 19. Satan likes to make a mockery of this world, and he's running around causing a ruckus, and he's been doing it for quite a while, and sadly, he's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at his job. Notice this. Satan is the one controlling the world. 1 John 5 and verse 19, the King James reads, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." You run that through the American Standard of 1901, says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one." or in the authority, under the control of the evil one in wickedness. Satan controls the world. You know how I know? Have you looked at the world lately? And how as far away from God as the world can get, and just when I think it can't get any farther, those yahoos go out and do something and they go even farther. I mean, you just think, and then I think, boy, it was worse than this in Paul's day. Go back and read Romans 1. But Satan's controlling this world. And sadly, I don't have a whole lot of good things to say about Satan. Go back to John 8 and verse 34. John chapter 8, 44, excuse me. John 8, 44, because he is the father of lies. Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, John 8, 44, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You think about it. Go back to probably page 2 in your Bible, depending on the font size. And go back to the Garden of Eden. And the first lie is what? You shall not surely die. So he is the father of all lies. He's also called our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'll go ahead and tell you something now about me you probably already knew. I have never been stranded in the African jungle. And I make it a goal to stay that way, because I know I've watched enough of these documentaries that when these lions get hungry, they don't really care what the food is. If they can get it, they're going to eat it. Our enemy is Satan, and he is a hungry lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He may be over here, but he sees one. Well, he'll just go over there and try to get that. Why would I want to give in to the adversary? But notice 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Not only is he the father of lies, not only is he our adversary, he's a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and no marvel, don't be amazed at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, i.e., he's trying to deceive people, making it look one way when in reality it's another. See, the world shows us the alternative, and the world is under the control of Satan, and I don't want to do anything that's going to give Satan a good feeling that he's gotten me to do this or that. But notice, go with me to 2 Peter, then we'll move on. It is possible to overcome the world, but if we're not careful, it's possible to go back into the world. I've often said, and unless I can find something scarier, I'll probably keep saying, these are among some of the scariest passages in Scripture I can find. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. For they promised themselves liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, then their latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, that the dog returned his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. See, Peter talks about people who have obeyed the gospel. They've heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized. They've gone down in that watery grave. They've come up a new creature alive in Christ, and they're living for Christ. And then as time goes on, they start living for Christ a little less and a little less. And before you know it, they've gone back into that wicked old world they've escaped from. He says their latter end, if they don't repent, is worse in the beginning, because now they know why they're doing it. They know what they're doing. Someone who hasn't grown up in the church, someone who hasn't read the Scriptures, they may be doing contrary to God, and they may not always realize it. But if you're blatantly going, the wrong way. And he says the latter end is worse than the beginning. Backsliding is an option. So how do you fix the problem? Well, you got to have a good foundation, right? You know, the song we sing in Vacation Bible School, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came and the floods descended, and his house stood firm. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 7, that's what we call the wise man and the foolish man. See, the world shows us the alternative, and I don't want to look like the world. Dear friends, Christians can't. We can't look like the world, act like the world, think, behave. We are to be different, set apart. See, the world shows us the alternative, shows us what happens if you don't overcome. I don't want to be involved in that, so that encourages me to press forward. But finally, we can overcome the world because the results of overcoming give us motivation. The fact of overcoming wants to make me overcome. When I see brothers and sisters in Christ succeeding, makes me want to succeed. When I see a faithful brother or sister who has fought the good long fight for the Lord, when they finally lay their life down, I rejoice because they fought that good fight, and that encourages me because I want to be the same. I want it to be one of those funerals where nobody's upset at the funeral home, where they all, oh, we know where they're going. We've got a good assurance of that. Notice this. Go with me to the book of Revelation, if you will, and just notice some of these messages to the seven churches of Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey, because the results of overcoming, they give us the motivation. Notice the church at Ephesus. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, there was an actual tree of life. And theoretically, had man stayed in the garden, once again, theoretically, because that didn't happen, theoretically, you could continue eating on that. But death is the punishment for sin, so they're separated from that eternal source of life on this earth. Yet here, Jesus, by inspiration, says, he that overcomes can eat of spiritual life in that spiritual paradise of God. Look at verse 11, the church at Smyrna. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is that? The death that burns with fire and brimstone. You won't have to face that. Will you die? Yes. Hebrews 9:27. We'll all die once. But you don't have to face that second death if you overcome. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 5. You jump down to the church at Sardis. He that overcometh, hey, that's what we're talking about. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, a pure garment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So not only do you get a new garment, so to speak, not only is your name in the book of life, but then on the day of judgment, God's going to say, I know him. That's Justin. He's mine. I know her. Put your name in there. He says, if you overcome, I will admit that I know you. Look at verse 21 there to the church at Laodicea. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I can go sit with my Father. I'm not going to try to sit on his throne. I'd just be happy just to sit at his feet and worship him. But you see, if I overcome, that's a promise for me. And then also Revelation 21 and verse 7, as he's John there seeing a new heaven, a new earth, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, or literally these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So not only will I have an inheritance greater than anything else I can imagine, I'm also going to have a personal relationship with my Father, where he will call me his son, and I can call him my Father. See, dear friends, we can have confidence in the world. Go back with me to our lesson text. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Notice what Jesus says. Some of my favorite passages in Scripture. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, first off, how did he overcome the world? By defeating death. You know, the first messianic prophecy, the prophecy about Christ in the Old Testament, is in page or chapter 3 of the Bible, Genesis 3:15, about how he will defeat Satan when Jesus dies upon that cross. See, we as Christians, we could go into it knowing we've won. You'll see here on the presentation, I have the name of Jeopardy. Jeopardy is my favorite game show. I miss Alex Trebek dearly. I love Jeopardy. I have been known to take off of work early so I could go home and watch Jeopardy. Now, I had an official reason so I wouldn't get stuck in traffic, but really, I wanted to go home and watch Jeopardy, so I just take off work an hour early. They didn't question, it's whatever. I love it. And here's the best way I love it. Imagine this. If you're unfamiliar with the game show, you're answering questions in the answers in the form of a question, and you get dollar amounts based on the difficulty of the questions. You go into the final Jeopardy round, and there you can bet whatever you want to. You can bet a dollar if you want to, but that's better on the Price is Right. But you can try to double your money. You can bet half. If you don't know it, you can risk nothing. My favorite way to watch Jeopardy is when this happens. You've got your first guy who is your returning champion. He's going into Final Jeopardy with $28,000 because he knows what he's doing. Your next guy, who's from Minnesota, he's got $4,000. And the guy on the end scrambled up $5,000. I love the look on that first guy's face because he just sits there with his hands crossed. He's already won the game. Even if the $4,000 and $5,000 doubled, they can't even come close. He's already won. So I love watching, because then you just go in. Sometimes they'll answer it. Sometimes they'll just write down a funny answer and not wager any money. See, this is what I think about us as Christians, right? Because Jesus Christ has said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, in Christ, we can be that man that goes in the final round knowing he's already won. He doesn't even have, he just has to wait the game out, but he's already won the game. We can be that only in Christ. I can't find that anywhere else in the world except for in Christ. Why? Go back and read the book of Revelation. What's the theme? Christ already won. If you hang with him, you'll win as well. How do we overcome the world? The results give us motivation. I am much more likely to approach a task if I think I can finish it. Well, I know I can finish this life here on this earth because if I die with him, I have gained it all. It gives me the motivation, these results do. Why in the world, then, would you purposely be on the team that loses? Now, I'm not a sports fan. If I was, I'm sure I could pull out some of these teams that always seem to lose. But my father is a Cowboys fan, so I know how that works from time to time. But why would you want to root for somebody who's always going to lose? Me, I like not having a dog in the fight, so I can pick whichever one I think's going to win, and if they lose, I change my mind. Oh, I was pulling for that. I don't care. But why would you want to go on? Why would I want to pick a basketball team to play some 3-on-3 knowing that none of us can dribble a ball or shoot? Why would I want to do that? Yet people in the world, they want to align themselves on a team that's already lost before they start. Why in the world? How do we overcome? Do we desire these wonderful things? Do we despise the awfulness of the world? Do we desire to be victorious through faithful living? Do we desire God's power through His Word in our lives? Well, if so, we can overcome, number one, by God's power, by our victorious faith, by rejecting the alternative, and by allowing the results of victory to motivate us. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. How are you living? Have you acted out on that faith? Have you heard the gospel, believed that it's true, repented of your sins, made that public confession before a group such as this? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If so, we'd love to immerse you into Christ, have your sins washed away, and you're on His team. And then you remain faithful to the very end. That's when you receive that crown of life. That's where the victory is. That's when you overcome the world. Dear friends, if you're not a Christian this morning, as we sing this invitation song, let Christ's love lift you. Why not become a Christian today? If you are a Christian, you hang in there to the very end, knowing that's when you receive that crown of life. That's when you receive the victory. If you're not faithful and need to repent, need to be restored, maybe you just need prayers for encouragement on this journey, we're here and we would love to assist you. Please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.